Hi, my name's Jeremiah. You're going to hear the intro in just a second. This is being filmed in the middle of the episode, but I'm realizing halfway through, this is some really juicy stuff. Really good, like just chef's kiss. But it is going to reveal a lot about this unique aspect of the island that's very mysterious. And we're pulling back the veil for you to see and for you to hear our thoughts. If you are a player, if you plan on playing in this space, just don't watch this episode. It's not worth it. I know we might get less views on this podcast episode.
Yes, I'm willing. Do not watch.
That's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. If you want the Wandering Forest to feel unique and mysterious when you adventure in it, it just ain't worth watching this episode. You know,
but
just,
it's a really good episode.
It's a solid episode. I'm telling you, I'm in it right now. From the inside, it's looking pretty cool. Welcome to the Obajima Podcast. This is our weekly writer's meeting where we sit down and come up with some concepts and talk about the things that we've been writing lately. Today, we are jumping into the Wandering Forest. That's what it was. Took me a while. I had to wander there. Which is a location on Obajima. It's a mysterious forest, the crawling canopy, as it's known on the island, that moves across the gale fields and can catch some adventurers off guard if they're not paying attention. And today, we're going to figure out what that is, because honestly, we don't really know.
That's all we know.
Yeah. You know what we know? Kind of. We know a few more things than you do, but we're going to share them with you right now and then come up with some concepts. So for the Wandering Forest, I have a few ideas. I have a few questions for us.
Mm.
And the first one is, what is the Wandering Forest? Which I feel like I've answered, but we can go into it. What is the Wandering Forest? What's the deal with Wandering Forests? All right, that was lame. I'm so sorry. I literally just mentioned how we shouldn't make Seinfeld jokes because our audience doesn't care. The Wandering Forest, or the Crawling Canopy, is a forest magically imbued with life in some capacity, and it randomly, sporadically will uproot itself and crawl across the gale fields and then plant itself again. Mm-hmm. And so one of the interesting aspects of it is an unknowing adventurer and merchant might wander through the forest and then all of a sudden it shifts and moves, trapping them inside in some capacity, making them lose the trail. Another thing that could potentially happen, and one of the adventurers in the book, is a party falls asleep in the gale fields and the Wandering Forest moves over them. And when they arise, when they wake up the next morning, they are trapped inside of it. And because the Wandering Forest is sporadic, and someday it ties itself down for one day, some days it's there for months, it shifts and changes. It is its own entity making its own decisions. And so it's kind of impossible to predict. What I do know is that it stays within the gale fields. Mm-hmm. So it's never moving outside of it, and it never joins into other forests. It always is its own thing, its own entity. Why?
What is going
what
on?
What is happening?
What is the meaning of this
so
thing?
There is something that we came up with a while back that we can kind of discuss. And if you're a player, this is going to ruin some of the spice. If this is what, I mean, obviously if you're a player and you're watching this, you're in, you know, more than the DM probably. but if you're a DM, this is some of the spice that we were thinking about throwing in, and it came, I don't know. Do you guys know what I'm about to say?
No,
it came when we created the Dara.
Oh yeah.
The concept that when they place a glyph for someone to read, and it sits there, and this important and pertinent information, this message that wants to be discovered, and no Dara steps by to receive it, it like turns and awakens the tree. And this concept was more connected to dryads and to tree ents, and this like, that's how they come into being potentially as a possibility. But then that led to a very brief, but like shocked Pikachu meme of us all looking at each other and being like, oh my gosh, what if there is a Dara glyph in the center of the awakened forest? And that's what's done this. And you could almost have it like the Awakened Forest was like one singular tree that like uprooted itself and started moving. And then like, as it connected with other trees, it just, they were imbued with life.
Yeah. There's these crazy jungle trees that, you know, they spawn off and you can actually see them. There's like a main tree, but then there's other trees and you can tell they're all connected by their roots.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this like, maybe that the whole Awakened Forest is a, or the Wandering Forest is a really just one organism. Yeah. And animated by this, you know, super powerful Dauroglyph. And maybe because the trees kind of shuffle and shift, there's no way to really map the Wandering Forest, you know?
Yeah. Maybe the Dauroglyph was, or is, a glyph left by the first Dara.
Love that idea. Yeah.
As a possibility, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah, a total quest for any Dara player character if they eventually learn about this thing.
That means the Wandering Forest is a somewhat recent phenomenon then.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
So that's the other question. Yeah. So do we want it to be recent or do we want it to be ancient?
I mean, there's something really compelling about keeping the magic contemporary to a degree. Like, oftentimes it's like, oh, ancient days was it, you know, that's where all the magic was and, you know, all these things, you know, but if we say, yeah, this started, you know, walking around 300 years ago when the Dara arrived, like, there's something neat about it. Yeah. This is not something the ancient Nakodama or even ancient humans dealt with. This is something that started happening.
That's neat. Yeah,
that's cool. I like that.
Because you're just like, in ancient days, thousands of years
wandering
ago,
for
the time of magic.
Yeah.
But this is that time, right? Yeah. Like that's what's really fun about Obajima is that, you know, strange and wondrous things continue to happen. It's not, the mystery isn't in its ancient quality.
Right.
Right. The mystery is like things, weird stuff happens on this island.
I like that. Can you tell me this? Is this bit of information a like legend a la Castle in the Sky? Where it's like, there's a hidden sky castle that everyone, what is it called?
Laputa.
Laputa. You know, that like people know and talk about. Or is it like, you know, no one knows about this and there's no real reason. You know, there's, in which case, this probably isn't even included in the Wandering Forest section. This is included in the mysteries and myth section of the island, which is a completely different section of the book.
I mean, I think if you're from the Gale Fields, you'll know about this thing, but people outside the Gale Fields might not know about this.
Well, not to say the forest. I'm saying the glyph specifically inside of it is the glyph.
It's super rare that anybody would know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But somebody has to know about it because there has to be a way for the player characters to find out about it.
Maybe we just drop it in the myth section. And it's like if the DM wants to throw it in, like the myth is that there's one singular Dara glyph left by the first Dara trapped inside the forest.
I mean, maybe the myth of the Dara glyph is well known. Like Dara talk about this, like where is the first glyph? You know, that there, it's got to be somewhere. And so that could be built up, you know, already by a DM.
I mean, the idea of the first Dara putting this glyph in a thing that moves around, basically making sure that the Dara can't just stay put. Like it forces Dara to venture into the world, even if they're seeking this thing. So it's like, there's no like shrine going to be built here because this is always moving around.
It's always moving,
so it's not, you know, and I think there's something really interesting about that.
That the myth of the first glyph could be an adventure hook from Rokala then.
That's cool.
Where it's like, where is the first glyph? Or where is, you know, are there any glyphs left from the first Dara?
Yeah.
It's like maybe specifically not collectively by the Obajima, but specifically in Rokala, the myth is that there's one left in the in the Wandering Forest.
It's kind of like a Shambhala or you know, one of these like mythical cities, you know, that this glyph is out there. Or I'm trying to think of another, you know, like people have searched for it. It's known that way. Like, And, you know, a lot of people think it's, you know, it doesn't exist. But yeah. Dara really believe it, and maybe even some Dara know. They're just like, yeah, this thing is real. But we don't know where it is. We don't know where the first Dara left it. Like, we have checked, you know, we have checked all the trees in this area.
But yeah.
They're, what they don't realize is that this thing's moving.
Right.
They
the
might
trees
have,
are shifting.
They might have even looked in the wandering forest and been mm-hmm. like, yeah, I saw this weird wandering forest. We checked a bunch of trees. Like, but this thing is always shifting,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, could be in there.
I mean, this is interesting because way back when we were just kind of jotting down notes for this thing, one of the things we had was there could be entire communities that exist in the forest traveling with it as it migrates.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, it's interesting, even if there's that and like this glyph still remains kind of mysterious. It's a question of, like, first of all, I guess, how big is this forest?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if there are communities there, like, do they live in the canopy? And so, like, as it shifts around, they're able to travel with it. If that's something we want to pursue. But yeah, it just got me thinking about how big is this place?
It has mm-hmm. to, I think it has to be big enough to, for people to get lost in it. So it has to be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
20 miles wide.
Yeah.
Something that, like,
yeah.
really you'd get
100 miles
turned,
you
know, around.
Like, yeah, you mm-hmm. could. I mean, and the thing is that you might get lost in one section of it, and then the forest has moved as you're trying to find your way out. It could move, and so it could seem like it's hundreds of miles long.
Yeah. I love the idea of somebody being who has been lost in there for like 30 years, because wherever they go, the forest keeps shifting
around it.
Around yeah. it. So it's like the road just keeps getting extended, and they just like, can't get out of this thing.
It goes on forever. They get to the edge. They wake up the next morning, the forest like is settling, and they're like, no, it moved. And they don't realize they're right on the cusp, and they
yeah.
turn the opposite direction.
Yep. Yeah. Go back yeah. deeper into the forest.
Back into the forest.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a, it could be also like, I think about these documentaries where a biologist or zoologist goes into the rainforest
mm-hmm.
and they're talking with people who live in the rainforest. They're like, we're looking for this frog. We've heard rumors about it.
Yeah.
And then they'll ask around, and then the native people who live in there are like, oh, we know where that frog is. We'll show it to you. And so they take them on this like crazy journey down into this like little canyon.
Yeah.
And in there's like, there it is, you know, the red creeping frog. And they're like, oh my gosh, it's the only one ever we found. And it could be that this glyph, this community has found it. And maybe anybody who comes in, they're just like, nope, we haven't seen it. Never, mm-hmm. never seen it. But they might have been, maybe they were friends of the first Dara, and it was handed down that the first Dara might've said, like, don't tell anybody about this. Like, you're the protectors of this glyph. And those people might not even be Dara. They might be humans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, but you'll know, you know, like, who's worthy to touch this glyph.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, one of them will be the player characters when they show up, but they have to go through something. They have to prove a certain sense, and then they might be shown mm-hmm. where this glyph is, or, you know, they might be like prevented from seeing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the idea that there's people that live in there, and maybe within that band of people, that village, there's like a subsection who know about this first glyph
mm-hmm.
and they are kind of either they're in some sort of like communion with that tree, like that there's a shaman who just has a connection and can find it no matter where it is in the forest, or there's a group of people and they, you know, they just have a way of keeping track of it. So
it also could be like, what if it's not a community, like they don't live together, but there's a handful of these like hermits that live at various points in this thing. And so some of them might know the answer, some of them might not, or whatever. So, you know, you have to seek out the right person. And
yeah, one of them might pretend they know and mm-hmm. try to extort you for tons of happy joy cakes.
There's also another question is it possible that they don't know what is at the center, where it's like...
It's remained hidden
all this
time.
There's something secret. There's yeah. also, you know, maybe the forest doesn't want mm-hmm. the glyph to be discovered. Yeah. So as people approach the center, it always uproots itself and shifts to throw people off. Like yeah. it's keeping itself hidden.
And you could do things like, you know, is it is it covered in moss? Like, you're not going to happen upon this. But mm-hmm. then you do something like the Doors of Durin, right? In Lord of the Rings, like, oh, when moonlight shines on it or mm-hmm. whatever, it shows the outline. So there's something you have to do to reveal it.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. You're never going to wander past to be like, what's that? You know, kind of thing.
What's that glowing thing?
That's cool.
Yeah, it could also be that guarding it is an elder spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to, like, that's cool. You know, confront it, mollify it, prove yourself to it, or, you know, destroy it if you're that kind of a party. And to get the glyph, you know, it's like, I will slay you with my sword. But yeah, like, that could be it. There's like,
someone get that old man.
I'm going to slay you with my sword.
Grandpa forgot his meds again.
Your spirit. I'll take you down. But yeah,
that's,
you know.
That's like, the guy who's been in there for 30
years. Right.
Exactly. I finally found it. Oh my gosh. This is a tree. He does this every day.
Yeah. Don't bother with Joe. That's what he does.
So, okay. Well, let's talk about the people inside of it, because we're kind of leaning in that direction. I love a crazed old man.
Mm-hmm. Hermit, crazy hermits. They're fun.
And that's great. That's super fun. I don't hate the, like, people that travel in there. Then my question for you two is, do we want them to, you know, if we put the glyph at the center of their focus, it feels like a religion
mm-hmm.
compared to, like, a group of people who maybe shun. Like, there's a couple different, you can either go, like, we're going to go the religious route, in which case this mm-hmm. feels like a religion with, like, things that go along with it, which is fine, because that's not something that really occurs in Iwo Jima very often.
Yeah, it's rare.
And it'd be a pretty small group of people. Or you could have a group of people that are more nomadic and are just like, we're tired of the rest of the world, you know, like, you could put them in a bunch of different boxes, but, you know, like, someone who's like, we like our peace and our quiet, and we understand how to not only live in the mm-hmm. wandering forest, but flourish in the wandering forest.
It's also a place to, I mean, the forest would provide safety. Remember, the Gale Fields is it's hard to, it's, I mean, it's perilous to traverse, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are monsters here, there are howler packs and all that kind of stuff. So, but if you're in the wandering forest, you're probably in pretty good shape if you know how to survive in there.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine these groups of people living in these kind of, you know, treetop, you know, dwellings or whatever. And yeah. they're kind of, they're literally going with it. You know, like,
could also be a pretty big horde here, because if you imagine merchants and people are getting lost in the forest mm-hmm. and these people live there, they might be like, oh yeah, you know, come and look at the trinket room. And then you go in and it's like, whoa, the trinket room is pretty insane.
It's like legit.
And they're like, yeah, you know, this, you know, some of our things are in here that we, you know, when we moved in here, we abandoned them. There's no purpose. I have no purpose. What am I going to do with the telescope? I can't see out the canopy.
Yeah.
You know,
the forest provides.
Yeah, yeah. I don't need, you know, this car part or this bicycle. The forest, there's no paths here.
So it's interesting. There could be, yeah, like, there could be kind of a, like, a, mythos or a like series of, like, I don't know if maxims or aphorisms or things that have come around, that because this forest wanders, you know, they've taken on a whole philosophy around it,
mm-hmm.
that they see life a different way now. They're like, wow, you know, when I was in the outside world, I thought about things this way, but now that I'm inside the forest. And I mean, it could also kind of take on a little bit of a creepy vibe too, where mm-hmm. people are like, join us, you know, like, come to the forest and, like, learn this way. Like, you'll, you know, you don't need anything anymore. And, you know,
so I kind of like that. I kind of like the occult mm-hmm. feeling of the wandering forest. The wandering forest, in my opinion, it should lean somewhere between, like, whimsical and, like, Alice, almost like Alice in Wonderland,
mm-hmm.
to, like, potentially dangerous. I kind of want it to be like Brackwater Wetlands, like mm-hmm. the eastern side of the island, the training wheels version of that, where like the Gale Fields, there's like howlers and there's other crazy things. But like if you get trapped in the Wandering Forest, there's real dangers in here. And in the adventure, which we're not talking about at the moment, but the adventure, the concept is that you meet, like, there's a thing that's going to hunt you. There's something really dangerous in this forest that lives in here and preys on the people that get lost.
And that kind of then shifts like this thing that if the first Daraglyph is in there, maybe the first Daraglyph is something that, you know, it's like you have to go through all these dangerous things. Like the first Daraglyph was put in there, and then the forest might have, maybe there's I don't know, whatever this creature is, or if it's an older spirit that's turned kind of wicked. And it's like, now this forest is really dangerous.
You could also say, if the glyph awakens things, there could be one massive tree ent that has the glyph on itself. That like dormant sits there, but like if anywhere were somehow to navigate to the center, it's like only like, you know, you could kind of do it. I mean, if there's no Dar in your party, then it's like kill. Like it just wants you out of the forest. If there's a Dar on your party, it might be more of like a challenge or some, you know, I don't know what this glyph would desire from the Dara. Like, cause we've kind of written it as like you read the glyph and it's gone.
Yeah.
It fades. And so like,
this could also be an exception to that rule.
It could be an exception to the rule.
You know, This could be something special from the first Dara, you know, maybe it's something with the magic of the treant or whatever is keeping this sustained, and like that's why he chose this spot, that there's something about it. So we can play with that.
I mean, what if there was like early on, there was this sacred grove, and the first Dara was like, I'm going to place the special glyph there. Puts a special glyph on this amazing tree, and the tree awakens up. And is like the sentient tree, and it says, I will guard this glyph for the end of time. And the first star goes, cool. And
first star is like, oh my gosh, it's Optimus Prime.
It's Optimus Prime. Autobots, roll out. but then, now we've crossed properties.
Yeah, it's true.
But so then the treant is just there and in the sacred grove. And then all of a sudden, some evil comes along, curses the grove. Knocks the treant out. The treant goes unconscious or in stasis, and the evil now takes the grove and now is just wandering through the Gale Fields with it. Maybe it was trying to get out of the Gale Fields. Maybe it's trying to get somewhere. I don't know, whatever it is. But your job as the players is to get in there, defeat the evil, and you've got an idea.
I do. Because you said something that's really, really cool, which is like, what if this is not a Daraglyph, but a magic? What if this is, this would be a take on it, and you describe the great evil that inspired it, but there's all of these like, I sealed the great evil away, I did this thing to blah, blah. What if this is the druid's version of sealing the evil away? It's like the druid was dying. There's this great evil. And so the curse is that it's like, you'll never find your way out. And so like the druid dies and it grows this ancient grove of trees all around it and curses the beast that the forest will wander around it. So when the forest wanders, it's actually this thing pacing through the Gale Fields and it just uproots itself and makes sure that it's always lost in the Gale Fields. It can never find its way out. It's always stuck in the center.
Yeah, so that means that there is this evil in the center all the time.
All the time. Yeah. And it'll never get away. And like,
that's a really cool reveal. Cut this out of the podcast. Nobody listens to this.
Nobody gets this one.
That could be the possibility. It also could be, you could tie some things, like not to say that there is... that they're, you know, it also could be that the first Dara did that. The first Dara was like, I'm going to, you know, if they have the magic, which kind of awakens these things, the first Dara could be like, you know, I can't defeat you, but I can trap you here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grows everything around.
You'll never escape.
Like, oh my gosh, they're fighting in the forest. And the first Dara is like, okay, like, I won't defeat you. And instead he like stamps the thing and all of these glyphs appear all across the entire forest and they all awaken all at once.
And then just moving around. And it's just, yeah, moving prison.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
So what keeps this thing? I like this a lot, by the way. what keeps it in the Gale Fields?
I think perhaps.
Is that part of the, because if it's following this evil, and then mm-hmm. the evil is determining its course.
Maybe it could be just that, like, the, it's not necessarily, like, the thing can't leave the Gale Fields. It could just be that, like, it has, when you have no vision of where you're going, it just wandered.
It's just, this is where it's typically found.
This is where it's found. It's wandering through the Gale Field. It can't figure out how to get out of it. Maybe there's even pushback on itself. Mm-hmm. Like when the trees butt up against another forest, it like is struggling to move. And it kind of, because the Gale Fields are surrounded by forest.
Yeah.
And so like, if it just keeps on bumping in, like bumpers, like keeps on hitting other forests mm-hmm. and it feels this tension, it just turns
closes
the other
off
way.
Essentially.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I mean, if this thing, this evil is not like sentient, like it's bestial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it, the trees could just kind of form a wall and it bumps in and then it just turns, you know, and then it's pacing somewhere else. And like, let's say it's like, you know, like an enormous dire wolf.
Yeah.
Like it's just this slavering, rabid, you know, almost like Wolfen. Remember Wolfen or the old horror movie or the American Werewolf in London where mm-hmm. it's the transformation, it's just this horrendous looking thing. And, you know, it's fairly going along, but the trees are just kind of, shepherding it. And the program of the trees is like, keep it in the Gale Fields, mm-hmm. like don't let it go out.
Yeah.
And maybe this thing, like if it was to get to Mount Arborea, it could find something in there mm-hmm. and that would transform it into like the Fenris Wolf or something. It would just devour, you know.
Yeah.
Could devour the island or something crazy. I don't know.
It could be a beast that just lives forever. Mm-hmm. It could also be a corrupt, like a demon.
Yeah.
It could be a elder, like a nature spirit corrupted. Turned demon.
Yeah, we talked about that. That's
a nature spirit cool. turned demon, because then it could be, you know, not to say that we know, there's no way to turn a demon, no like mechanical way to turn a demon back into a spirit, but then there could be more of a purification route on this, like, you know, we're gonna try to cure this thing.
There's something cool about like this, you know, almost like Fenris wolf kind of thing, whether it's a wolf or not, but it's known that, you know, given its freedom, it would swallow Obajima, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's something neat about mm-hmm. that. And then the player's finding a way to use it to swallow the corruption, right? Like, mm-hmm. and that's like, you know, it's like little seeds like a DM can do. Come,
that's cool.
But people don't know that this evil is there, right? They just know the wandering forest.
That's cool that the evil could be used for the solution to the problem. Like, you know, we've kind of, you know, one of the things about the you know, adventuring here is like, how do you solve the corruption? Like, mm-hmm. what is one of the solutions? Well, one of the solutions could be doing that, where you like, you actually use this Fenris wolf and you have the Wakened Forest to like channel it and walk it to the corruption where it devours the corruption. It could do that. Another thing I was thinking was like, if this thing is a spirit, a corrupted elder spirit, it could be trapped in a physical form, but on another level, there's another form of it in the spirit realm where you're, mm-hmm. it's trying to accomplish a different goal in the spirit realm to free itself. Maybe it wants to return to the spirit realm and just be a spirit again, or it wants to, but there could be some kind of adventure in the spirit realm.
I love the idea of if you're in the wandering forest and you peek into the spirit realm from there, what you see are these kind of like very tall, spindly, you know, maybe transparent like spirits that are like all like shepherding this, you know, this thing.
Yeah.
You know,
these
trees are actually, you know, spirit like in the spirit realm is like, yeah, I don't know. You just like that.
If the version of itself in the spirit realm is potentially like the last remaining bit of like its true essence is still there, there's still a little bit there, then it's like, it'd be cool for the players to interact with it and have it being this, like, you know, I'm imagining a 40 foot tall black wolf with like tree spines, like, you know, covered in bramble thorns, just this matted horrific beast. And then you go to see it in this its version of itself in the spirit realm, and it's like, yeah, all these like ghost like waif like things, and then the very center there's like a bunny, like a pure white bunny, and it just like moves around, and it's like just the most, and it's like, oh man, this is all that's connecting it.
Yeah. I've seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Yeah,
exactly.
That's no ordinary rabbit.
Trust.
What about, like, because I like that there was a scene in Spirited Away where there's like the river spirit, and it's just like this mess, and it's horrible and ugly, but it's got something stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that old bicycle and garbage and things because the river had been polluted. So maybe there's something like this. The physical manifestation is this horrific, like, you know, ravenous wolf, and then in the spirit realm, it's, you can see that it's been afflicted, like there's something,
it's a limp,
something stuck in it, it's wounded or something's happened to it, and if you can solve that, you can sort of redeem this creature, and then that creature turns into, you know, something wonderful or something, you know, magnificent, and then it's like, oh shit.
And then, yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
then it could devour the corruption, or
I thought you were saying then it could devour the forest.
Then it could devour the forest. And then it could devour Obojima. Yeah.
But but there's also something cool here about there could be a selfish act where it's like, if you heal this spirit, that wolf version of it's going to go away. And it's like, do you intentionally, like, Do you stab the rabbit?
Yeah.
Kill it. Let the wolf fully take over, because you're gonna let it. It's gonna eat.
Oh, that's
the
interesting.
Corruption. Or do you heal it and remove that tool as a weapon?
That's great.
As a weapon.
I think that's really cool. Yes.
And I think this is more interesting than just a glyph awakening it. Although I like the glyph. Do we think the first Dara was the person that did this, that sealed this evil? In the you know, and if we did, this would probably be on the timeline in some capacity. Like, the first Dara defeats the thing, but people don't know that it's the Wandering Forest.
Is this how the first Dara died?
I don't know.
Oh,
you know, because like the Dara will do this as they're gonna you know, die. They'll put this like glyph up. Is this like this new? He knew. Or they knew that I need to stop this thing. This is probably where I go. And then...
And teamed up with a spirit.
Well, possibly. But we also mention, I think we mention in the Dara's previous episodes, the concept that Rokala is the settlement where the Dara had passed.
Right. So
the Dara had passed there, and his children were born, or his, whatever you call them, whatever Dara think
offspring,
his the Dara spawned from that area. But it's not to say that this is not where he was mortally wounded. It could be that, like, he did this thing, he threw his magic at it, the creature nearly killed him, and he you know, escaped, and he wandered. And, you know, if we're looking at this, if Rokala on this back end is in the back end here, like right over there, you could imagine him having this battle, this great battle in the Gale Fields, and then like wandering, and just like maybe he lost his vision. Like,
I mean, so Rokala is in a forest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it where it was? Is this where the Wandering Forest used to be part of that forest? And it broke off. Like, this is where that fight happened. Yeah.
It's very "You Shall Not Pass" with Gandalf.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's
really neat. Cool.
Yeah,
this is all discoverable. So, like, you know, obviously, like, nobody knows this.
So I think, honestly, I don't think any of this is included in the Wandering Forest section. I think this is all in the myth section of the book.
I mean, it could be in the Wandering Forest section, in that, like, there's a DM facing thing, Right. Like,
sure. But I think even that, the DM, I think we should just be like, go to the myth section and we're going to detail all of this.
Yeah. Sure.
Because the Wandering Forest, what it really should be is like,
things you're interacting
here, things that you're interacting on the daily. Yeah. Here are the NPCs. Here are the dangers. Here are the, you know, some of the stuff that occurs. Like the crazed old, like, you know, the crazed old guy and maybe like a group of people that are more. And if, by the way, if this is the direction we're heading in, those group of people are no longer worshiping the center of the forest. In fact, they probably have nomadic lifestyle and have like a way of life that maybe is still spiritual and cult-like, but not going to be centered on the forest.
They could be worshiping the ravenous beast. Like they're kind of like possible. This weird like death cult, you know? And they're like, you know, we're just like, they're, you know, trying to survive it or maybe offering sacrifices up to it.
Well, you maybe they don't know what's in the center of the forest. Maybe they're like, you don't go because you die.
Yeah. Or they're like, there is no center.
There is no center. It's there endless. There is no center.
Yeah.
But I like that. I still like a group of people, like a, maybe they live in the trees. Their mm-hmm. settlements are high mm-hmm. in the trees. Yeah. I like an old crazed man, like who's like lost in the forest. Spirit, pretty spirit heavy mm-hmm. in this section. Like I want a lot of spirits. In fact, there's a NPC, a like an anthropomorphic sheep NPC and their mouse colleagues.
It's the coolest
one. Who are part of the forest but that's like a specific NPC for the adventure. So like, you know, I think a couple really strong spirit NPCs here would be really great. I think, you know, having Adara, maybe an Adara explorer who's like
Dara the Explorer. I had to, sorry.
Oh no.
Swiper.
I can't do this.
Hey, that podcast is over.
That's a table flip.
No, I mean maybe there's a Dara who's like looking for glyphs. Who's like searching for glyphs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
We had a thing in here. Again, initial notes. So this is from months ago at this point. But we have under some points of interest, the Wicked Wizard Tavern. Small tavern somewhere in the wilderness that is said to be possible to find directly as it only reveals itself to those who become lost within the wandering forest.
Mm. That's pretty cool. It's cool because it would be, again, like the village, which is probably pretty high. This is probably like built in between multiple trees and like has a platform and a set of stairs that like rest on the ground. And then like when the trees lift up, it like raises itself.
Reveals, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, anytime you have like a really a cool mystery that has like many different moving parts, like this is turning out to be, you have to have some way for the characters to figure it out.
Right.
So, you know, some answers to this clue could be found in the forest. So you could go to the Wicked Wizard Tavern and you see this weird, like kind of, you know, magical being there that's serving you ale, but then there's like some cost to it maybe. But then there's like other things on different parts of the island where you start to piece together the clue to leads that let you know, oh, there is a glyph. There's this magic beast. This beast can devour the corruption, this, you know, but then we're going to have to make a choice. Do we save the spirit or do, you know, does the beast, do we, you know, let the beast eat corruption? Like, that all has to be learned. And then because it has to be learned to have the moral choice at the end, you know? So, and it has to be so that it's not that hard to learn. Like once you start getting one piece of the clue, you're pretty quickly going to find out the rest of the clue.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there's a few things we can do to point in the direction of the beast existing, which is paw prints, a ginormous paw prints in the Gale Fields, which is interesting. That no one knows where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is there's this thing that's hunting you in the Wandering Forest adventure, like this beast.
Sweet.
Which is like, well, what if it's the offspring, or what if it's like, you know, an offspring in the sense of like, it's not like mating with another thing, but kind of in the same way that things just spawn, like, you know, magically spawn, like maybe this, you know, the beast is wandering and like it, you know, in anger, like bit a poor, like it's furious one day because it can't, you know, it can't escape, and it bites a portion of its you know, arm, and it bleeds, and the bleed hits the ground and kind of like soaks in and grows a smaller, like a boar, like a ravenous boar, a ravenous fox that like runs out, it injures itself, and like as the blood pours on itself onto the ground, it forms something, like almost like it's casting a spell to summon a minion. And this is the one of the minions is like hunting on the outskirts.
It also could be that, you know, a creature tries to fight it, and something that is bit by that thing becomes corrupted. Something like that.
Could be, yeah, a person or, you know, a humanoid, but then it becomes sort of this wolf, werewolf looking thing.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I mean, this could be where like lycanthropic kind of stuff could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. It's interesting. What other NPCs are possible here? So we have a few locations. We have a small village type thing. We have some NPCs there. We have a bar.
Can I read what our past selves said about the Wicked Wizard Tavern?
Sure.
Because I'd forgotten about this, and I'm delighted. So thanks, past us. Okay. Adding to its mystery is the fact that the barkeep and the servers are all animated puppets. Perhaps the Wicked Wizard made some staff for the tavern or turned unruly customers into puppets. At least that could be the rumor. Having some kind of wizard proprietor could be fun here. The kind of NPC that you don't know if they're dangerous or if they're going to be helpful can go either way. Maybe the tavern is a wizard's tower and the tavern is on the bottom floor and no one is allowed in the rooms above. The puppets could get all nervous and flustered if somebody asks about going up into the tower.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
You know, and they could be almost like, oh, you know, like wicker puppets kind of thing.
Yeah, you start to go up the stairs and like, don't go up the stairs. You get a little,
like, scratching of the wicker.
No. Calm down, please.
I like how the as they get more frantic, the less like animated they become. So now instead of like walking over, they just like glide. Yeah. Like bodies drag over.
Some it's just great. Like, stop.
Wait.
Some curl up in balls. Others like, just hurl themselves in the fireplace.
That's, oh my gosh.
Don't do it, don't do it.
Yeah.
Do you have to DM for a table, Adam?
This is mayhem.
That's cool. And so what is this wizard like, I wonder?
Crazy.
Crazy? What if the wizard... what if the wizard is... like something not expected, like an awakened dog.
Yeah. Or like smoking a pipe.
Yeah, like you walk up and the dog's like, oh, I'm like, there's a puppet there, and then you look and it's like, or it's like a crow in the corner. You found me. What is going on right now? I used to be the companion of a wizard.
Yeah. What else are you going to do out here?
Yeah, he passed away. I took over. I'm not as good at controlling the puppets. What do you want from me?
Have you seen this place? It goes on forever and ever.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, actually, that's cool. What if the wizard's dead and it's just his companion spirit who's taken over but doesn't know how to do all the magic?
Yeah, just trying to figure it out.
Okay. NPCs that are starting a village, old wizard, the tavern, we've got the crazed old man, which we're throwing a lot of crazed old men out there. We'll try to see.
What if there's a...
It could be a young man.
Yeah.
That'll solve the problem.
Crazy young man.
Crazy young guy.
Yeah. What if it's a, there's a ranger here and like she's wandered this woods and she's like on, maybe she's tracking the beast, or she's got a vital piece of the clue. You know, whatever it is, maybe she's a corrupted ranger.
That'd be cool.
You know, and she's trying to find a cure for the corruption. And she's like, you know, she did a deal with a witch, or she got insight, or had a vision, or something. And she's like, somewhere in here is a cure for the corruption.
Yeah,
and a cure for my corruption. You know,
yeah.
Or her sister's corrupted, and she's trying to find a way. She's a ranger, and she's trying to find a way to like save her sister.
That's
cool.
She's
just like, hey, I need your help. And, you know, if I can track down this beast, I can do it. And then it could be a thing where, you get to the end of the revelation where you realize that, oh, the answer to this thing is in the spirit realm, and you see this, maybe it's this beautiful spirit, and you know, the spirit has a thorn stuck in her, a magic thorn, and you pull it out and you come out and you say, hey, we can do this and we'll cure this beast. And now the ranger's like, no, we got to keep the beast and we got to keep it that way. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's saving my sister. And so now you've got this like compounded moral problem,
mm-hmm.
where it's like you either, cause this ranger won't let you do that. You know,
yeah.
It could be a situation like that, or we don't have to go that way. But
the thing, you've set up all these things, all these motivations, DM is going to take them. And
yeah.
You know, if it's a party, if the players like that kind of choice,
yeah.
You know, that they find that interesting, go for it. And some people just want the escapism of just like, I deal with difficult choices every day at work.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Let me kick open doors and
let me do the right yeah. thing and be a hero and the end. Yeah.
I almost want to just have a QR code. Come watch this podcast episode if you want to run this section.
So other NPCs ideas that we had early on, whether or not they're still relevant, we had a tree dwelling creature, something like a mythical macaque.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
And then we also had wood gatherers who collect wood from the trees.
Oh yeah.
That's right. Because didn't we have a thing where if you make a house out of this wood, the house actually can move?
Yeah. Like, okay. So what we said earlier,
That's cool.
If you build a house out of one of the wandering trees, your house is powered by the magic of the wood. Maybe it could heat itself during the winter, or the whole house could move on its own. Or if you attune to it, to wherever you wanted to go, the forest is considered sacred by, okay. And then it goes on a little bit, but, yeah. So the forest is considered sacred by Obajimans. So no one dares chop down the trees. They only collect dead wood that has fallen, but that doesn't pack the same magic punch as harvesting a living tree.
So yeah, maybe this wood itself has a little more oomph, and it can be used to, you know, I mean, it burns longer and it does all the, it just has some,
like maybe if goodies. You fashioned, like if you chop down a living tree, like, which is sacrilege, mm-hmm. like you can get into big trouble for that. But if you fashioned a bow and arrow out of that thing, what would that do?
Mm-hmm.
Like that could be super cool.
Just a little extra magic. Or
yep.
you could imagine one of the pilots to jump back to Skykite Valley.
Oh,
one of the pilots
yeah.
cut down one of the trees
yeah.
and is using an old growth tree, is yeah. using it to, for the you know, the bones and, of it, of their
and it's like
glider.
It, you know, they're getting these incredible results, and some people are like, how are they doing that?
It's What's moving going? So quickly.
Yeah. 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 And then you learn, you're like, that dastardly dog.
As we all would say.
Yes. Cutting down the old growth tree.
I love that though. I really like that.
My Pacific Northwest sensibilities.
I know. Mm-hmm. One of the other things we mentioned in Okiri is kind of this idea that there are fruits and certain things that grow. And so the Okiri villagers, as the forest comes by, are like, oh my gosh, the forest, everyone grab your baskets, and they go and collect the fruits or something.
Mm.
And then it wanders off. So there could be something like woodcutters
yeah.
and fruit gatherers who live there. You know, people that like, you know, who maybe they don't live there, but maybe they're in the forest in the time that you
yep.
meet them
yep.
as like a possible NPC you could gather or you could find.
I mean, is there magical, like if you ate fruits from the wandering forest, like what kind of cool magical abilities could you get, like, or effects?
It could be
could double your movement speed, or I don't know.
We've got enough potions and ingredients. I don't want to come up with more
That's
edible
right.
mechanics. I'm sweating thinking about more potion mechanics. but no, I like the direction. I think I do want to come up with like a spirit, something that like really is unique and interesting. Some sort of spirit character that has something to do with it would be really fun.
I love the idea of. I'm just picturing it because of like the movement of the trees and the forest is going. I love this idea of a big spirit snake or serpent that's kind of winds its way through, you know, it's woven through the trees as it's kind of shuffling along.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
It's like a coattle, like
something
kinda,
like that. Yeah.
Type of spirit.
Yeah.
There's also, outside of NPCs too, there's also creatures that you'd only discover in there.
Yeah.
For example, the acorn crab, which we haven't talked about a ton, but currently there, I think there's art for it. Throw the art up if we ever got it.
If we don't have it, conjure it in your mind.
Acorn which, crab.
The idea is that there are these giant crab, these huge hulking crabs that are carnivorous. And they crawl up to the tops of trees. And then when something walks by, it drops down and forms its shell. And it looks like an acorn. And it drops and slams onto something and knocks it out. And they all like run over and eat it or whatever.
Devour.
I mean, it sounds creepy, but imagine it in a less creepy way. Imagine it more Natural Geographic and less like a scary beast eating a person.
Like the alien face hugger coming down. Taking you out.
Which, by the way, when I wrote acorn crab is the idea, I was thinking something really cute. And then I was like, what if I make this terrifying? So they're not as cute as you'd want them to be, but they'll serve the purpose here. So monsters that live in this enclosed biome, like a terrarium almost, you know, like what the specific creatures that exist in here. Obviously there's like the offspring. And this is also something we could do. As far as like playing with leaving hints, is if we name this beast that lives in the center, but we don't stat it out, but we do stat out the offspring of it. Mm. And then when players like the offspring of Torif or whatever, yeah, like, what is that?
Yeah.
What is this thing? And then they will naturally be intrigued to find it.
It's like that moment in Aliens where they're like, who's laying the eggs?
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh.
Yeah. So that's cool. Gosh. It also says something about the history is like the name still exists and they know what these things are, but they don't know that this thing is in the center.
Mm.
Like that there's so much that's passed so much time has passed, 300 years has passed that information's lost to them.
Yeah.
I think all the creatures that are, you know, native to this place would be tree like canopy dwellers.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's on the ground is probably lost, you know,
right?
Because otherwise, say, how do they continue along with it, or they migrate with it,
or the beast is eating them,
or
devoured.
So like they're basically the, you know, you're going along and like there's nothing on the ground here. Mm-hmm. Like there are no creatures here. But it's all the things that live in the trees. They might come down. So there'd be squirrels or whatever. They're all up in the trees and they come down, scurry around and then return.
It's also cool too, because if you're equally as lost and then you run into a pack of howlers who's like infuriated and lost, it's like, oh my gosh. Okay.
I mean, if howlers worshipped anything, it would be this thing. Mm. If it's like a wolf thing, like it's like their terrifying god, you know?
It's a question of like how monstrous are howlers, right?
Like, yeah, if howlers are, you know, bestial intelligence or worse, you know, like that, then yeah, whatever. But
yeah, I always imagined howlers as being like selfish and lacking empathy, but not necessarily like evil.
Mm.
So they'll hurt you. They'll break your arm and break your cart and steal all your food, but just because they want your food,
and
you're not letting them take it. Right. Not because they're like, I'm gonna kill this thing. They're like,
if you're like, here, do all this, they're like, and they just push you in the mud. You know, and you're just like, you jerks. Okay. But maybe there is a legend of it amongst the howlers, though. If they're like, oh yeah, there's the big howler
in
the woods.
It'd be pretty interesting. I mean, I don't know if they have cave paintings or if they where they're intellectually they are, but it would be interesting if you go into the biggest howler den and inside is a painting of a giant wolf in the center of the forest, and you're like, what is that?
Yeah, that's cool.
It's something you could throw in there without having to say anything, just showing the picture, and people will be able to start pulling pieces together. And then if they don't get it, to show them this podcast episode.
Yeah, it's right there. See what
watch.
Is it? It would be fun though if the howlers had their own name for it, you know, and they refer to the ultimate one or you know whatever howlers would call it, and you're like, oh, what is that? I wonder what that. And then when you find the wandering wood, you're like, oh, is this what the howlers were talking about? Like, crap!
If this was a recent phenomenon, like with the wandering forest,
mm-hmm.
and this this being, this, you know, evil that has been trapped in here, was it always in the spirit realm until recently? You know what I mean? And has just come through and it's just running amok on Obijima and that's where all this happens. Mm. Or has this always been a thing on the island in the physical world, you know, in some fashion?
You could have it be a twin...
Right, but existing.
Like a twin spirit type situation where there's two spirits in the world or in the spirit realm and they both exist equally and kind of almost as one soul but separate bodies, and then one of them becomes a demon. Mm. And so they cast it out and now there's one spirit brother in the spirit realm and one spirit brother in the physical realm. And that because they're drawing from the same life force as the demon got more powerful, the other one diminished until now it's like one of them is a 30 foot tall, monster. You know, monster. Yeah. And the other one's a rabbit with a broken leg.
Mm.
And they're both imprisoned. Like when seemingly in the spirit realm, the rabbit is wandering through an eternal, like they might be ghostial transparent trees, but they're kind of bound to both wander in this forest.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm trying to think of like the solution part of the quest here. So if there's two different, if there's twins, then if you heal one, then the other one diminishes. Or if they are one spirit, it's like, cause I'm thinking of, again, of that river spirit where you, if you pull the bicycle out of the spirit and all that garbage comes out of it, it transforms. Is it a situation like that where if you pull, like if you heal the rabbit's broken leg, the physical evil manifestation just disappears. Like it's wiped out. I don't know.
I mean, mechanically you could do some cool mechanic ways to use spells in the way that they mm-hmm. normally wouldn't be. Like how interesting would it be if one player, If I were to do this as like a big major section of the campaign and I was going to heal this wolf spirit, I'd probably do something like this and have the parties in two different sections, one in the spirit realm, one in the physical realm. And as one group is healing the other, healing the rabbit, like the cleric's healing the rabbit, the other ones are like using or like binding the other spirit on the physical plane and casting like remove curse and like attacking it. And then as the remove curse is happening, the rabbit is spawning these like these evil things that you're having to fend off. And so like you're essentially like binding and drawing the curse out, which is flooding out from this wound in the rabbit. And so there's like a combat and then it eventually just like the rabbit starts to heal and grow in size and whatever. Mm. And the wolf diminishes the more and more. Something to that effect. And then, yeah, use a spell in an interesting way, like remove curse. Mm. Casting remove curse over and over again as like almost like a way, it's almost like inflict wounds. Like I cast remove curse at 7th level and it's like 90 damage or something to that effect, or or restores 90 hit points to the rabbit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost, it kind of, it'd be like a weird version. I'm sorry, Avatar's so good. I'm imagining kind of the battle, the last battle between Aang and the Firebender, where there's like the two, it's
the battle of wills,
the battle of wills, where they're pushing back and forth. And I would say, yeah, you just need a little assistance. The rabbit's holding on. You just need assistance in some capacity.
Yeah. And it could be, I like the idea that they're spawning. There's, you know, good is trying to spawn other things to help you out, and evil is trying to spawn stuff to try to thwart you.
Yeah,
and maybe, you know, NPCs kind of come out of the forest that are, you know, on the side of evil or on the side of good to help you out, to kind of tip the balance. Like if it's, you know, it looks like, you know, it's going to be a TPK, then like the DM could be like, all right, you know, a bunch of good guys come out of the forest to help you out and save, you know, they're kind of riders of Rohan you at the last minute. And
it'd be cool. Like you can imagine all of the evil spirits on the material plane are all coming and attacking. And then like you heal the rabbit a little bit and all of a sudden the trees all form into a wall and like create a circle around you, blocking them all, like you're in a cage now.
Or they just, the limbs start reaching out and grabbing them, smack.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool. There's something really interesting there. And then the exact opposite would be like, we're going to free the wolf. So you'd go to the spirit realm and you'd just, there'd probably be no combat.
Stomp
you'd
on
just,
the rabbit.
But then it would also be, you kill the rabbit and all the trees in the spirit realm turn black.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's repercussions, like maybe you're banned from the spirit realm or the spirits come and attack you or and then what happens? Does the wolf break free? Like, what is going on? There's a lot there.
Oh man. Yeah, what does happen?
Not to say you have to punish your
I just got the image of you are marked in some way. Like the way that spirits get marked and are kind of banished and become demons. Like you're marked. And I don't know why, but the image that was that emerged in my mind was a spirit bounty hunter that's out there. It's like, you have crossed the line
Line. Yeah. Even, well, that's the other cool thing is repercussions. Yes, but, and we're going a little past our timer went off, but I want to say this because it's interesting. The yes, but is like the spirit was freed. You got the wolf to consume the corruption. Which is great. And like, maybe that's the end. But now festering in the spirit realm is this seed of like demonic energy, which will cause problems later down the line.
Maybe that means that demons are no longer banished from the spirit realm.
Oh, damn. Mm,
interesting. Yeah, there is a lot there. Okay, there's a lot going on. This is a really, really cool episode. We're going to end it there, though. It is... we could probably sit and talk about this for another hour.
Easy.
And I absolutely would, but we're gonna have to cut it off. You can find more about this. You can find a bunch of stuff in the Wandering Forest section. You can find even more stuff about the Wandering Forest in the actual mystery section of the book. Thank you so much for joining us. Ari, Adam, Jeremiah, we are the writers, and you can catch us on YouTube and Spotify and, well, probably Spotify, and Discord and our social medias and all that, and we will catch you next time.
So long.
See ya.